Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
He will throw. Prescott throws over the middle and it's caught. Ferguson, touchdown, Dallas.
How disappointing, crushing was that series right before halftime, too? Where you guys get back in and you get the ball, and then they go down right down and score.
Yeah, words cannot explain. I was hot.
Yeah, that drive right before the end of the first half was a tough one. You took a 20-15 lead, but you left 40 seconds left on the clock. That was too much time against your defense. And that was, by the way, partly coaching. Get to that here in the game take as we continue. I gave you the things that I liked. Daron Payne, some special teamers, Tressway, Percy Butler, Luke McCaffrey. I thought McNichols and Robbie Chosen, they played pretty well. And I thought Luvu had moments. Jacob Martin had some moments. Let's get to the list of bad from the game. Here's the bottom line for the last two games. They just aren't good enough to be the team that makes the most mistakes and come out on top. We saw that on Monday night. They were -3 in the turnover margin. That was the difference in the game. They just aren't able to overcome that this year. Not against the teams they're playing anyway. And I talked about this on Friday as part of my keys to a win, that they needed to be near flawless, especially on offense, because you knew going in you were going to have to match Dallas. And I pointed out on Friday that every possession needs to be treated as if the possession is the one that can potentially win or lose the game. I thought they would be a four-down team. Opening drive, 4th and 3, their own 46. They're leaving the offense out there. They false start. Those are the self-inflicted things that have happened now for consecutive games that can't happen. They turned it over twice. They dropped 3 passes minimum in the first half that were big. They committed so many penalties. They didn't tackle well. When you have that, by the way, did you know they lead the league in drop passes? I didn't know that. Did you know that, Max? Did you see the graphic that was put up? They led the league coming into the game with 12 drop passes.
Yeah, and then on the 13th, I saw a tweet, and that was what notified me. And then I sent it to you, and then there like 3 more drops happened. It was great. I loved it.
You're not gonna have a really good chance in a game like yesterday's against that offense versus our defense if you're going to commit 11 penalties for 118 yards, 8 for 90 in the first half, commit 2 turnovers and drop passes, and then make up for it by not tackling well on defense. It's just not going to happen. Some of the penalties, too, really cost them in the first half field position-wise. They had Among their drives in the first half, and they had seven of them. Did you know, by the way, the 15 offensive drives in the first half? Dallas had eight, Washington had seven. I don't count the last one when they needed out after Dallas scored with 10 seconds to go. The most in an NFL game this year. It was one long first half, but they had three drives that started from their 10, another one that started from their 10, and another one that started from their own 13, almost exclusively due to penalties. Washington's minus five turnover margin in the last two games, deadly, deadly. Now, those two turnovers came when they were already down 27-15, but they were driving to perhaps cut it to a one-score game again. To be fair, Dallas didn't need the turnovers to win the game yesterday. Chicago did. But too many mistakes on a day in which you really couldn't afford any. You know, Jaden's fumble was not great. Marcus Mariota's pick six was really, really ugly. Horrendous decision, you know, terrible throw under duress. They needed to be, you know, flawless or near flawless and instead committed one mistake after another. A lot of them really, you know, self-inflicted, not necessarily, you know, forced. They're just not going to win a game against that team's offense by giving away offensive possessions. Number two on the list of things I didn't like, the defense. Kind of like Monday night, right? It's like the three turnovers were the top reason they lost the game, but oh my God, the defense was just wretched. And it was, again, yesterday. You know, there were a few plays here and there. You know, I've already mentioned Duran's plays, a few pass breakups here and there, a couple of pass pressures here and there. The bottom line is the good plays don't happen enough, and they don't seem to happen consecutively. You know, you need three good plays in a row defensively, sometimes four, to get off the field, and they don't do that enough. There are occasional TFLs, you know, tackles for loss. They had seven of them in the game. There are some occasional plays in which you're like, that's good pass rush pressure. There are occasional plays against the run. Hey, that's a pretty good job against the run. But they don't happen enough, and they don't happen on consecutive plays to end the opponent's offensive possession with a punt. You know, not against the good teams. They haven't this year. Dallas punted twice during the competitive portion of the game. And really, on one of the times they punted, it was all on Dallas. They committed multiple penalties, and they had like a second and 25, and they just couldn't overcome it. Other than that, Dallas against Washington's defense yesterday, during the real portion of the game, which is really the first three quarters, you know, into the fourth quarter, barely. 10 real drives, they scored on seven of them. They rolled up 409 yards and 37 points. Remember, seven were on the pick six. 409 yards, seven of 10 drives, 37 points, basically 6 for 10 on third down. They finished 6 for 12, but during the competitive portion of the game, you know, into the early part of the fourth quarter before they took their foot off the gas and started to run clock, they just dominated. They had 12 plays, 12 in the game of 10 yards or more. They had 7 plays in the game of 17 yards or more. They had a 74-yard touchdown pass. They had a 44-yard play, a 33-yard play, a 24-yard play, an 18-yard play, and two 17-yard plays. Whew. Hard to really win a game when you are just giving up chunk after chunk play. Lamb and Pickens are tough to cover, and Lamb being back elevated that offense to a place where you look at Dallas and you're like, if somehow their defense can just get off the field three or four times over the course of 60 minutes, they're going to have a chance to win every game they're in, because they are absolutely executing at an elite level offensively. Javonte Williams, 116 yards on 19 carries, 6.1 yards per carry. In the last two games, you know, going into the Chicago game, I'm like, all right, they have improved defensively. And the loss of Dietrich Wise, big deal. Loss yesterday of Dorrance Armstrong, big deal, no doubt. In the last two games, though, oof, the run stopping. They've given up 224 yards to the lead backs, DeAndre Swift and yesterday Javonte Williams, on 33 carries. That's 6.8 yards per carry.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it looks like they're not a very good run-stopping team either. Not when they play teams that decide they're going to run the football. Like on Monday night, DeAndre Swift should have had another 5 or 6 carries in that game, just like Jahmyr Gibbs should have in the playoff game. Dak Prescott, he was outstanding. 21 of 30, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He had a 130.4 passer rating and 88 QBR. Washington in coverage, still a problem. You can pick your guy, Lattimore, Sanders still. There were some PBUs, some pass breakups that were like in that given moment. Hey, that's not a bad play by Sanders still. That's not terrible coverage by Lattimore. But again, they don't happen consecutively. Teams can just keep going to it, and eventually, you know, 2 out of the 3 times they're going to result in positive plays for the offense. As I mentioned, another, you know, Quan Martin Lattimore collision on the 74-yard bomb to Lamb. I mean, you've got to be kidding me when it comes to this. Tackling wasn't good for the most part. How about the play where Quan Martin basically got carried by Javonte Williams on that 33-yard run at the end of the first half? You know, of the teams they've played this year, obviously Dallas is the best offensive team that they've played this year. They are really good, and Lamb took them to another level. And the loss of Armstrong yesterday, very early in the game, was a factor. He's been arguably their best defensive player. It's going to be interesting to see if Quinn does anything defensively this week. They are moving in the wrong direction. They are now number 4 in the traditional yards allowed ranking of defenses, the fourth worst in the league. Next up on the list of things I didn't like, the offense was just out of sync, and nothing was consistently good. There were good plays. There were moments, and I really did think the third quarter drive, I'm like, here we go. You know, they ended the first half on a long, very effective drive, and they were moving the ball to start the third quarter in Dallas territory at the Cowboy 39-yard line. But ultimately, you know, this didn't really resemble what they were at their best against the Chargers or even against the Bears when they were at their best offensively. And I got to tell you, man, I love Cliff Kingsbury, and I think they've got a really good offensive coordinator. But there are many days when I come in here, and usually it's after a game like yesterday, where I'm like, I don't know. I saw that they were loading the box. Sure. I saw they were playing man coverage. For sure. Let's maybe try to run it anyway. you know? And they had an 8-yard run on the first play of the game, and then they throw the ball for minus one to Bill Kroski-Merritt. And it's like, it's an 8-yard run. And I also felt like, and I'll have to go back and watch the All-22, I kind of felt like they were running behind Cosme and Connerly more than Paul and Tunsil. I thought Cosme was really good in his first game back, from what I could tell. But I would have liked to have seen, and I think there have been too many moments this year where they've gotten away from or not given a fair shot to the running game. And I think the model for beating Dallas yesterday started with, offensively, we have to do our part to keep Dallas's offense off the field because we know it's a mismatch on the other side. If you're being real about what your team is, and I still am not sure that they get. I mean, you know, we had Joe Witt Jr. last week talking about the DeAndre Swift touchdown as if that was the only play, and it was just a missed tackle, and it should have been an 8-yard gain, not a 55-yard gain, and it still goes in the, you know, bucket of explosives. Yeah, think about the explosives that didn't happen to you on Monday night that should have. But I would have thought that the overall plan going into the game yesterday is we got to win the game on offense. We have to think about four down offense. We've got to run the football. We got to possess the football. We got to get the clock to churn a little bit. And I don't think they gave the running game a fair shot. I understand. Loaded box, we're going to check to something. And maybe some of those were checks. But, you know, it was Dallas. They were the worst run stopping, the worst defense in the league. And yeah, they changed things up. They played a lot of, you know, 8-man boxes. I mean, I think there were a couple of plays in which it seemed like they had 10 near the line of scrimmage. I also would have preferred to have run behind Paul and Tunsil more than the other way around. But look, out of sync. I mean, the 4th-and-3 on the opening drive, they're keeping the offense out there. They false start. The play in which, you know, you've got the possession back after taking an 8, after falling back behind after you took the lead 8-7, and that's that third drive, and Zach Ertz is wide open and he just drops the football. You've got to be kidding me. You cannot drop the ball on a day in which you have to stay on the field. The pass protection I thought was good at times, and then on other plays it wasn't. Look, they had offensively 15 points and 214 yards in the first half. They were moving at the start of the second half. They were 5-for-10 on third down before the Jaden injury. It just didn't feel like it was in sync, though. It didn't look that way. It didn't feel that way. They couldn't get out of their own way. And again, to emphasize, it couldn't happen because of the opponent they were playing and what that opponent was doing when they had the ball, which was scoring. I didn't like the tempo at the end of the first half because I think it allowed Dallas to get the ball back and essentially erase the good deed done at the end of the first half, which was scoring on offense. Now, I think one thing Brady didn't point out is that tempo may have played a role in the success of that drive. We know how much of a role it's played in the success of their offense, you know, going back to last year. But they had to consider the game context, and that is we need to score a touchdown to make it 20-15, but we can't leave enough time on the clock for them to get in Aubrey range, which is the 50-yard line, or even worse, them to go down and score a touchdown, which they did in 40 seconds with 2 timeouts left. So I didn't like the way the last, you know, drive was managed. No takeaways, 3 total on the year. Only the Jets have fewer. That's killing them right now, their turnover margin. And the last thing on the list of things I didn't like is you don't go for 2 that early in the game. I'm sorry. In a game like that where there are going to be a lot of scores, a lot of different types of scores, right? We had a safety, we had a field goal, we had touchdowns. 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in the first quarter is not the opportunity to try to make it a 3-point lead at 8-7. You know, you just take the 9-7 knowing that there will be another opportunity if you need to do it to go for 2. Look, if they went into the game saying, we got 7 2-point plays that are going to work against this terrible defense. We're going for two the whole game. We're gonna pick up a net number of points via the PAT going for two. But that's not what they were thinking. They were thinking it's 8-7. Oh, the chart says go for two. The chart shouldn't be looked at with 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in the first quarter. That makes no sense to me. Certainly didn't cost them the game, though. All right. Your calls, other observations, including what I thought of Jaden before the injury, when we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.